Get your Bibles, turn to Ruth chapter 3, Ruth chapter 3, and keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. Ruth chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first seven verses. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you get to the book of 1 Samuel, turn back a book. If you get to Judges, keep going one book. If you get between there, you're at Ruth. Amen. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 2 Samuel. Here we go. Ruth chapter 3, verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?"
Pizza.
Mrs. Lopez. Oh, no. I won't tell you who it is. But her hair is white. All right? And it's not my wife's. So, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, who's... Somebody stomp that thing. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou was. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place that where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Oh, wouldn't that be nice every once in a while? And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now, let me remind you, the Bible is the living word of God. These are not stories told by man. These are the very words God wanted us to have.
Yes, sir.
With that in mind, that means this. God gave us real people with real situations, with real problems, so that we could learn from them.
Yes.
It's not that it's just a story to entertain. These are real life people with real life situations. Why? As it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing new under the sun. Do you know they had troubles with politicians back in Jesus' day? You know, they had troubles with lawyers back then. No pun down here. They had trouble with tax collectors. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, Ruth has been good, loving, and kind to Naomi. Ruth chose to live in poverty with her mother-in-law rather than returning to the wealth of her own family. Ruth could have done what her sister-in-law had done and gone back, stayed in her country and gone back to her family and gone back to her false gods. But Ruth said, "No, Naomi, I'll stay with you. I'll take care of you." She moved from her own country to Naomi's home country, a foreign land, foreign customs. It wasn't that big of a move in our mind, but think about moving to another country just to take care of your mother-in-law. Shoot, I'm not going to move to another state, especially Minnesota. I'll bring her here, but I'm not going to move there. It's too cold there. They said, "Oh, it's warmed up. It's only minus 6 here, minus 15 back at our old place." Yeah, God bless you. That 10 degrees might mean something to you, but when it gets down below zero, who gives a flip? Wait a minute. Ruth was a very special lady. She had character. She was loyal. And she had a deep love. She worked hard to make it as good for Naomi as she could. She would go work in the fields and try to get enough food for them to eat or to trade with to get enough food and by which to live. Ruth got up early. She worked hard in the fields. She got her grain, and then she would work late into the evening at the threshing floor, breaking it down so that it was usable. She came home with more than most people because she put more hours in. She was thankful, and I never find one scripture anywhere where she ever complained. Now, think about that. Now, I'd complain if I had to go live with my mother-in-law. Say, why? I'm not going to Minnesota. All right, too cold there. I can't tell you, I wouldn't. But Ruth, there's not one mention of her complaining. This is a very unique young lady. She was thankful for the work. She was thankful for what she got. And Ruth truly wanted Naomi to have it as good as she could get it for her. May I inject something here? I find nowhere that Ruth had an ulterior motive anywhere. Now, I say that because I am often saying this to people. I don't judge people's motives. If somebody does something kind to me, I don't say, well, why'd you do that? If somebody does something unkind to me, I don't say, why'd you do that? I've had people do things unkindly, thinking they were being kind. They really thought their advice was going to help me. I realized it was like a knife in my back. Oh, okay. I don't judge people's motives. But I find nowhere that Ruth was manipulating and trying to play Naomi to get something better in life. She truly just wanted to take care of Naomi. She had no idea what could be in the land of Israel. Imagine you moving to a foreign country with foreign customs, not knowing anything about them. How could you manipulate that? Imagine moving to India or Tajikistan or somewhere like that. You don't even know where that's at, so it doesn't matter. There is such a country, by the way. It's just outside of the Soviet Union. But it's over near Poland and the Ukraine and those areas over in that area. But imagine moving to one of those countries not knowing the customs. There's really no way you could manipulate somebody to get something. You wouldn't know how to go about it. Ruth truly had making the best life she could for her and Naomi that she could as her motive. Her focus was not herself. Her focus was actually Naomi. She had no idea what was about to happen. Now, I kind of let the cat out of the bag a few weeks ago, and if you've read the book of Ruth, you know what happens, but Ruth had no idea what was on the horizon. She was so focused on Naomi. I call this Bible study tonight, Naomi Plays Matchmaker. Naomi Plays Matchmaker. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek, what's the next word? Rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. Now look at me. Naomi has found out Boaz is on the scene. Remember last week I said Boaz is actually the daughter of Rahab, the harlot from the book of Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Naomi and Rahab knew one another. That means Naomi also knew what the kinsman situation was, and Ruth didn't even know what a kinsman was, and neither did you until I explained it to you. Now, wait a minute. Naomi says, I see a good opportunity here. Ruth has been good to me, and I see an opportunity for me to be good to her, and in some ways, it'll solve my problem of her having to take care of everything for me. Now, I believe Naomi had been humbled by Ruth. I really do. You know, it's humbling to have somebody do something for you like that. I mentioned last Saturday at Paula's homegoing service. My wife and I had a meal over at her house, and man, she treated us like we were somebody. I'm a nobody. I know that. Take my boots off, my feet stink just like yours do. Now, I can't smell them anymore, but I'm sure they still do. But can I tell you something? It's almost uncomfortable being served by somebody like that. Not that they're doing wrong, but it's just I'm used to doing the serve and not being served. That's kind of the way Naomi had been. She had been humbled by that. Naomi wants to repay Ruth for her care and her love and her loyalty. So she sees an opportunity. Naomi, being a Jew, understood the Jewish ways. Remember this. Naomi's only been gone 10 years. She grew up in the Jewish religion and culture. She knows how it works. Ruth knows nothing about it. Ruth knows nothing about the traditions and the laws and things like that. Ruth's just trying to keep food on the table and make sure her mother-in-law isn't going to starve to death and there's a place for them to live and enough food to eat. Naomi does not, listen to this, Naomi does not explain to Ruth what's about to happen. We read verses 1 through 7, and never one time did she say, now if you do all this, this is what's going to happen. She said, Ruth, I want you to go do a series of things, and then after you get done with that, whatever Boaz tells you to do, you do it, and after that, you come home and we'll talk about it. That sounded logical to Ruth. She had no idea what was about to happen. Let's look at Naomi's plan for a moment. Look at verse number 2. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. In other words, you've been working in the field all day. You smell like it. Go get cleaned up. Put clean clothes on, put perfume on, make yourself look and smell a little better than you do right now. All right, so she does. And she said, after he's done eating and drinking, mark where he goes to lie down. And after everybody else is down, you go to where he was, uncover his feet, and lie up next to his feet, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, that sounds like a strange custom to you and I, but here it's not, and I'll get into that in just a moment. And she, look at verse number 5. I love verse number 5. And she said unto her, all thou sayest unto me, I will do. Does anybody see the question in there? Why do I got to do that? What do you mean lay up against his stinky feet? What do you mean, wait till he lays down and do all, why? And she didn't say that. She just said, all thou tellest me to do, I'll do. Now, Boaz was overseeing the winnowing of the barley that night. When you pick grain, it comes in big heads usually. And you cut those heads off and the stalk of the plant is used for straw. Hay is grass. Wheat is a type of grass, but the straw is much different than hay, and I'm not going to get into all that. Multiple of reasons of why there's a difference and what it's used for and everything else. But those heads, all the grains have to be taken out of those heads, beaten out of the heads, and that has to be taken away. Then the seeds that are inside there, they have a hull on them or a shell on them that has to be broken off so that what's inside can be used. After you cut grain, the work isn't over. There's a lot of work. And back then, they did it by hand. And what they would do is they had these big areas in a barn, so to speak, and often had made of cloth and different things, and they would lay a bunch of grain down there, and they would take these big beaters, basically, and beat that stuff till it was loose, and they would flip that up in the air, and the loose stuff would fly off, and the heavier grains would come back down. After they got through that part of it, then they would thrash the wheat and break the hulls off. Then they would take it over to the grinding wheel to be ground and used as meal. So there's a lot of steps to this. They were winnowing it, which means taking it out of the heads, basically, and getting it broken down into just with outside the heads. Now, Boaz oversaw the whole operation. He was the boss man. He had to be there. He oversaw what was going on, and he wanted to make sure that, by the way, getting it in out of the field's one thing, but once you get it out of the field, you can't let it get wet. You got to get it off the, and it's got to be at a certain temperature. It's got to be a certain dryness to it, or it'll start molding, or it'll get rancid real quickly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So some of these processes have to take place very timely. And he is there overseeing it, and it gets late, and he is there. And those who reaped in the field and gleaned in the field, they couldn't do their work until the boss man's work was done. So it would not have been uncommon for someone like Ruth to be there, wait till it's over, and use their equipment to use on what she had. Ruth went down to do what was going on with the barley harvest. She was to pay attention to where Boaz went in to lie down, because later she would have to go in, uncover his feet, and lie next to his feet. Now I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 7. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, he went to lie down. Where did he lay down? At the end of a heap of corn. He was sleeping in the barn. Wasn't worth going home, because in a few hours he's got to get back up. Might as well just lay down on some burlap sacks on the corn, kind of like a mattress, and just lay down on the corn and went to sleep. Now, after everyone else was asleep, Ruth goes in. She uncovers his feet and lies down at his feet. Now, I imagine Ruth was about to scratch her head saying, what in the world's going on here? I can, just like if somebody asked one of you ladies to do that. Exactly. Everybody in this room just did the same thing. Ain't no way. Yeah. But you don't see that attitude here with Ruth. Not a one. Now, I'm sure it sounded strange, but that's what Naomi told her to do. So she did it. Number 2, what was Boaz's reaction? I love this. Look at verse number 8. And it came to pass when, at midnight, that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. I imagine that's enough to wake any man up in a panic. Laid down next to the corn, something laying up next to me. Whoa, what's that? That's a big rat. some horse came in and laid down on me or something. I don't know, but and all of a sudden he realized that wasn't an animal. That was a woman. And he was afraid. Look at verse 9. And he said, who art thou? I can imagine why he said that. He had no idea either. And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now look at me. She had no idea what that meant. That's what Ruth told her, or that's what Naomi told her to say. Verse 10. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." In other words, can I put this in modern vernacular? You didn't suck up to me just to get on my fields and get some food. You're kinder to me after the harvest is done than you were when we started. Verse 11. "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be done in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." Look at verse 14. "She lay at his feet until the morning. She arose up before one could know another." That means while it's still dark, not before they had coffee. "And said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." In other words, go ahead and go, but don't tell anybody you were here. I'll take care of this today. Now, Boaz sleeping in the barn at the end of a heap of corn is awakened at midnight. "Who's this at my feet?" He wasn't expecting it. He was impressed and pleased to see her. Look at verse number 10 again. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." In other words, you're a very kind person. Not just to get what you want, you are kind by nature. Look at verse 11. "Now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do thee all that thou requirest, for the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." That's a pretty powerful statement. A person of virtue, a person of ethics, a person of integrity, a person of character. And I want you to notice what it says. "All the city of my people know." Ruth had this reputation amongst everybody, not just Boaz. She wasn't doing this to get close to him. She wasn't kind just to be kind to him. She was kind to everybody. She was not virtuous just to him because he was wealthy. The Bible, and by the way, it said in verse number 10, "Follows not young men, whether poor or rich." You're not doing this to get noticed by somebody. This is just what you are. He, in verses 12 and 13, said, "I'll gladly be and do my part as a kinsman, but there is one, a nearer kinsman than I." We read that story a week or two ago. That's all recorded in the first part of chapter 4. We're not going to cover that again. You know that Boaz goes to the gate of the city and he sees this other nearer kinsman come by and has his witnesses there and the judges are there. And he tells this man that Naomi's back in town. She has a place that needs to be purchased. And he wants to know whether he wants to buy it, because if not, Boaz wants to purchase it. He said, "I'll buy it." He said, "But know the day you do, Naomi has a daughter-in-law with her named Ruth. She's a Moabitess. She has no children. Therefore, if you do this, you'll have to raise children with Ruth." And he said, "I ain't doing that." And Boaz says, "All right, in front of all these witnesses, you're saying you don't want it, and that it's okay if I do it," correct? If you remember, he took a shoe off and gave him a shoe. That was part of the tradition back then. I do not understand that still, and it doesn't matter. But I do know in some countries it still is a tradition. Now, it's interesting that night, notice what he said to her. Look at verse number 13. Tarry this night, and it shall be when? In the morning, that if he will perform thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if not do the part of a kinsman, then will I do the part of a kinsman. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And he said, in other words, tomorrow we'll take care of this. He wasn't going to wait. Boaz had a little bit of heartthrob for this. His pulse was beating a little faster. It wasn't about a piece of property to Boaz. It was about Ruth. Boaz had her stay until the morning early, and then she left while it was still dark. Now, look at verse number 15. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And that wasn't talking about a kiss, by the way. And she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her that what the man had done to her. Now listen, the Bible says that Boaz says, before you leave, take your veil, hold it out, and let me give you some barley. Take this to Naomi and let her know what I've done. You'll see that in a moment. Hang on. And the Bible says that he measured out 6 measures of barley. I looked it up twice, 2 different places. That is basically 25 pounds of barley that's already been processed. Imagine getting a 25-pound bag of flour. That's about what that was equivalent to. 25 pounds of barley is going to last a little while. It's going to take at least a couple days to eat all that. Boaz wanted Naomi to see how serious he was. Ruth didn't know what it meant. Look at verse number 17. And she said, that's Naomi, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Now, Ruth, I think I said Naomi, it was Ruth there. Ruth said, Boaz told me, take all this, bring it to you, and tell you that he gave it to me, that I wasn't supposed to return empty-handed. Notice the next statement, verse 18. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. There was some things about this, and I'll finish with this. Ruth and Naomi talk when she gets back, as all girls would do. I'm sure they went through every detail. What color socks he had on. What color the blanket was. Etc., etc., etc. Brother Scott, you don't have to illustrate. I'm like, you're going to get us both in trouble on that one. Men can say it in one verse. Women can say it in 3 pages. Amen? Wait a minute. I'm sure they talked about it. And Naomi, now let's talk about this. I want to know every detail. And I'm sure every detail came out. After the talk, Ruth shows Naomi her veil that has 6 measures of barley in it. And says in verse 17, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. That's interesting. Say, why is that? Legitimately, Ruth should be going back to the field to glean in the fields. He said, here's tomorrow's work. You don't have to work tomorrow. And Naomi says, sit still. Don't go to the field. He's going to take care of this today. He's not going to rest until it's cared for. We're just going to sit and wait here till we know what happens. That's what verse 18 is. Boaz was telling Naomi, here's my intent. It's going to get settled. My intent is I take care of it, but if not, don't send her to the field today. Now, we know from the previous study how Boaz handles this kinsman, and I re-mentioned that again. Look at chapter 4, verse 9, though. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel and do worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Now, next week we're going to start there with that little statement about Ephrathah and Bethlehem. But look at me for a second here. Boaz handled everything legally. He did everything legally right. He did everything appropriately. He made sure everything was buttoned up. He made sure that everything was in place and proper. He made sure that there was going to be no conflict of, you didn't do this right. He followed all the laws and he was doing it appropriately. Let me say it this way. Boaz was a good man ethically. He really was. I believe in having good ethics. I really do. I believe that we ought to have good ethics as Christians. We ought not be known as cheaters and everything else. And you're going to get criticized. Just know it's going to happen. Well, you're a hater because you don't believe in the alphabet soup people. Well, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Two bulls don't make a cow. It don't happen. Two cows don't make a bull either. They can call me whatever they want for my bad attitude on that. Sin is sin. Amen. Period, end of discussion. Boaz, though, is a good man. He's an ethical man. He didn't try to cheat anybody. He didn't say, well, I'll take care of you, Ruth, and then I'll go back to the other kinsmen and tell him what I did. This is what I want, so I'm going to get what I want. No, he told Ruth, there is somebody nearer, and if he chooses, you'll have to go with him, and it'll be okay. But if not, I'll do the part. Now, Boaz didn't care about the land. He cared about her. The land was not the issue to Boaz. Ruth was the issue. That's the important part that we have to understand.